Our scripture reading this morning comes from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 17 to 26. Now in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I have received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Table manners are always a good thing. But you know, different households have different ways of doing things. Some dinner times in houses are like feeding time at the zoo. Other times are quiet and orderly. And when you have people over for dinner, you put on your best table manners, don't you? Don't grab. Don't speak with your mouth full. Don't burp or slurp. But in other cultures, of course, it's indeed polite to slurp your soup or your food. That's sort of what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, to the small Christian community in Corinth. Paul, according to Paul, they had bad table manners. They were doing things quite sort of not well when it comes to being in community and also gathering around the table for Holy Communion. Now, I'm not suggesting at all that we have bad table manners here, at all. That we do things wrong around Holy Communion at this place. But I want to use this opportunity today to point out just a few things about Holy Communion and what Paul is saying and how important it is and what it might mean for us today. Hence, on this Sunday, we do gather around the table of our Lord and we'll be experiencing and sharing in communion in a little bit. But often we rush through things during a church service in our worship time. It's only like 9:30, 10:30 and go for coffee. It's fairly quick. But today, to slow down and to experience this whole experience itself of communion. So what are we doing today? So I want to focus on Paul's understanding of Holy Communion as set out in his letter to the Corinthians. Paul's words tell of us of an unsettled church. There were factions and quarrelling within them, arguments over bread and wine, communion. From the reading, it seems that some are abusing this sacrament, or at least not understanding the significance of it. When the Lord's Supper was to be celebrated in the early church, it included a fellowship meal followed by communion. This fellowship meal, or this precursor to Holy Communion, in a sense had become an occasion where people ate and drank to excess. And, apparently, others went hungry. There was little caring or sharing, nor was there any unity or love. It was not a suitable way to prepare oneself for communion. So Paul goes back to the foundation, to the tradition, and says that the Lord's Supper is different. It's different. The responsibility was on Paul to lay it straight and to guide this young church, in effect saying, examine yourselves, look at yourselves, think about what you're doing. So let's have a look at Holy Communion from this text from 1 Corinthians. In this letter to the Corinthians, we have some of the oldest recorded words of Jesus. This letter was written around about 50 AD, some 20 years after the time of Jesus, and some 20 years before the earliest gospel was written, which is Mark. So Paul is saying, the Lord has told me directly. The Lord has told me, and now I'm passing this on to you. This is the right way. This is the way it should be. Paul says, I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you. He doesn't receive it from others about the Lord's Supper, but says this tradition goes back to the very words of Jesus himself, which was given to Paul through revelation. Paul speaks with authority because it was given to him by Jesus to pass it on to others. And Holy Communion is not some ritual that the church made up, but it's the Lord's Supper. It's instituted by Jesus. And it was in the context of a Passover meal where the Israelite people recalled the Exodus. And at this meal, Jesus made it different. Unlike the Gospels, which tell of how, when, who, and what happened, Paul simply says that the Holy Supper has to do with Jesus. He started it, he's the meaning of it, and he's the one who invites us to share. Paul is stressing that the one who says, I am, as in I am the way, the truth and life, I am the door, I am the vine, says, I am the bread of life. I am the wine of forgiveness. Whilst the crucifixion is not explicitly spelled out in Paul's letter, it is implied by reference to the bread that Jesus takes and breaks, and the cup of reference to the cup of the blood of Christ. This was taking place on the night before Jesus was betrayed and later crucified. And he says, this is my body that is given for you. This is the cup of forgiveness in my love. So the Lord's Supper is given to us to share. It is a gift to be shared among God's people as often as you meet and eat together. It is an invitation, and it is also a command. It is Christ who invites. That's why I say in a few moments, this is not the table of Moriarty United Church. It's not my table, but it is the table of Jesus, the one who invites us to follow him. And as a command, it's continuous. Do this as often as you drink and as often as you eat in remembrance of me. Continue this practice. Continue this sacrament in remembrance of me. We are to recall the very life, ministry, death, resurrection of Jesus. So Paul is saying that by sharing in Holy Communion, we are participating in Jesus' life. No one else's. Not some rock star, some great philosopher or politician, but Jesus, the one who calls and invites. And so once again, we share in Holy Communion on this day. Let us keep in mind the one who instituted this supper. Let us keep in mind his gift. Let us keep in mind that it at his invitation. So my prayer today is that we will be like the two disciples. Remember the story after Easter and the road to Emmaus. After having traveled with Jesus, these disciples share a meal. And their eyes would be opened in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. My invitation today is Christ's invitation to come and share in communion, where we remember our Lord Jesus and we remember ourselves, as in remembering, bringing the members together. We will gather around the space here, if you're able. We can all squeeze in. There might be some room at the front. Sit if you prefer. Stand. Kneel. Sit on the steps. Gather in amongst your family or your friends and be with one another. We'll be sharing bread and wine together. But before that, let us pray. And this is a prayer, words from a hymn in our hymn book. Be known to us in breaking bread, but do not then depart. Saviour, abide with us and spread thy table in our heart. Then sup with us in love divine, thy body and thy blood. That living bread, that heavenly wine, be our immortal food. Amen.